would do good to wake up on Monday morning, before you get the crud out of your eyes, before you comb your hair, before you brush your teeth, and say those last lines right there. I am loved. I am blessed. I am anointed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, Bruce was talking about us pastors, and you, I mean, until you do it, you don't really know. You know, it's funny, it's comical. We have a lot of people that come and tell us all the different things we should be doing, and I want to ask them, I'm like, and you've done this for how long yourself? Till you do it, you don't know, right? Well, there's times before we get up to minister, I'm telling you, I feel empty as a gourd. You know what I'm talking about, right? That's just as dry as can be. And I'll just stand up and say, I am anointed in Christ Jesus. I don't have to feel it. I just have to believe it. And when I believe it, I'll feel it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go over there. For those of you visiting with us today, we are teaching right now. We've actually been on the theme of the Holy Spirit this whole calendar year. And right now, currently, we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And we are a church that unapologetically, unashamed, speak out and declare gifts of the Spirit are for us today. God is still prophesying. God is still speaking in tongues. God is still working miracles today. People are still being healed. These things have not passed away because God is still alive and kicking. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we believe in that here at this church, and that's why we're teaching on it. But the main reason we're teaching on this is not so we can win a theological argument with people and be able to tell them why we're right. We want to just experience it. Amen. More of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our individual lives and corporately. So we spent a good period of time laying a solid foundation of how we can experience more of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we found out one of the first keys is we got to understand the gifts of the Spirit are not out there in heaven somewhere, and we're hoping that God sprinkles a little blessing on us and gives us these gifts. No, if you got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you, you got all 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. So we're not trying to get something from the outside in. We're trying to release something that's already on the inside of us. Amen? And there's a big difference in the mentality there. So if we've already got the gifts of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, how do we release them? Well, that's what we got into in part 2 of this series. We talked about how we've got to start stepping out. Amen. We got to start putting our hands on people. We got to start opening our mouth and speaking into people's lives and putting ourselves in position for God to flow through us and use us. Amen. So we've got to start. I was thinking about it this way. In Acts chapter 3, you remember the first miracle after the Holy Spirit was given was when Peter and John were walking by the beautiful gate. And you had that lame man that was sitting right there. And the guy was asking for alms. And Peter comes up to him. And if he was a nice Christian from this time period that we live in, he might have given him a little generous offering and given him something to meet his needs and then maybe laid his hands on him and prayed that God would heal him and bless him. But that's not what happened. And how many of you know this story's in the Bible as an example for us to know what we're supposed to be doing? He goes over to him and says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have." Not hope to have, not God's going to do it, such as I possess, give I unto you. It wasn't laying hands on him and saying, "God, please heal him today, and you heal him from out here." No, it was, "I possess it, I'm giving it to you." Just like if you had money and you possess that money and you gave it to somebody. It's the same thing with healing. When we start coming at it from that mentality, we're going to start seeing the Holy Spirit cooperating with us a little more. But far too many of us are trying to do things our way and asking God to bless our plan. That's not how it works. We follow His plan, which is recorded in the Scriptures, and God will always bless His plan. Amen? That's why I never stand up here in Forest Service, "God, please, I'm going to speak your word to these people today. Please bless my sermon." No. What I do is I find out, "God, what is your message
And I ain't got to ask God to bless His message. It's going to be blessed. Amen?
So we just speak what He says. Glory to God. Well, it's the same thing with the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Let's cooperate with Him, release these things in our life. So we found out that we've already got it. We've already got the charisma. The gifts are on the inside of us. So we got to start practicing and releasing these things. But we found out one third and vital key is we got to desire them too. We got to covet earnestly the best gifts. And that's why we've opened up this church a couple of times during the week for you to come, gather together here, and pray along with us and seek after these things. Because the more we desire them, the more we're going to experience them. Because the fact of the matter is this, we're experiencing as much of God right now as we desire. That's a powerful statement, and most people don't like to hear that. But the awesome thing, that's a liberating truth. Because it shows me that it's not up to God to choose how much He's going to use us. You remember I made this point last week of, oh, God really moved last week. I despise people saying that because it indicates He didn't want to move the week before. God's always moving. He's always desiring to flow. It's us that's the variable. So that's why we talk to you and preach to you about coming to church with a heart of expectation that God's going to flow in this place, that God's going to move, and He'll flow through you. Amen? The more you have that attitude, I'm telling you, it's just good. That's why every time I go to India or somewhere like that, and I go into some of these places and preach the Word of God, it's always better. You know that? And you know why that is? It's because God is wanting to move all the time, but it's tied to people's expectation. That's why you see the signs, wonders, and miracles in third world countries that we might not see as much in the United States of America. It's the desire in the people to experience them. Amen. So we can experience more and more of these gifts. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's start in verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities or different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." And see, that's, church, what we are interested in here. The manifestation of the Spirit. You know, this is a term we throw out in our charismatic Spirit-filled circles a lot of times. Is, I'm just waiting for my healing to be manifested. Do you know what that means? I already believe God said by His stripes I was healed. I already believe that He Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. It's a done deal based on the work of the cross. But how many of you know that I can have those things as a reality in the spirit realm, but it sure is nice to have them manifested in this physical realm now and then, right? It's the same thing with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's not just about knowing that they're available, it's seeing them manifested in our lives. And notice that this manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one.
Amen.
You know what that means? Every single one of you has a manifestation of the Holy Spirit available to you. And what's the purpose of it? For the profit of all. It's not so you can stand up here and say, "Oh, look at me. God is using me today." It's so that I can benefit you. It's so that I can add a supply to you. And I believe this is another key right here to seeing more of a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. When our hearts move to the place to where, "Lord, I really want You to flow through me to speak to people and to minister life to people for their benefit, not for my glory, but for them." I believe God will start pouring it out a little bit and releasing that in our life. Amen. So this manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, but each and the same Spirit, but one and the same Spirit, works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Amen. Now, this is a very important point that we get, is that yes, if you are in a certain part of the body, and you are, that God has given certain gifts to you that you are to operate in predominantly. And they are not collected in our life, they are not distributed in our life by our own will, but by the will of the Holy Spirit. Yes. But there's also verses included in here that that doesn't mean we just throw our hands up and say, well, if this is all I'm experiencing, this is all God has for me. He told us to desire more, to covet earnestly more. So it's not like you're doomed to just operate in anything you've been operating in. According to your desire, you can have the Holy Spirit distribute a little bit more to you, add a little bit more to you, and add even more to you. The more you desire, the more you can have and walk in. Amen? So we began last week talking about the vocal gifts, because I told you that these nine gifts of the Spirit that we just read can be conveniently broken down into three groups of three. And the first set that we're spending a little bit more time talking about are what I call the vocal gifts: prophecy, different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. I obviously call them the vocal gifts because they're the part that are spoken out. They are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are spoken out. And I think it's interesting that these three gifts are the only gifts of the Holy Spirit that any instructions are given concerning. All of chapter 14 revolves around prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Why do you think the Lord inspired the Apostle Paul to give more of an explanation concerning these three gifts than the rest of them? Because I believe these are the three gifts that we can walk in and out of our own fruition. Amen. Why? Because your mouth's involved. Amen. And I'm here to tell you something that's very important. There are a lot of people, and I'm not saying this to condemn the people that are in this room or that maybe listen to us online, but the truth is, God has been wanting to speak out of some of you. Prophecies, tongues, and interpretation of tongues, and for fear of man, fear of missing it, we've buried that talent and haven't spoken it out. That's just the fact of the matter, because the bottom line is God wants to talk more than we're allowing Him to talk. But that shows that we can suppress it, which also shows us that we can release it. So the more we learn to cooperate and let God speak through us and not worry about what people think, and speak it out if you've got it, amen, and then let the chips fall where they may, amen, then God can start to see you. You're a faithful steward. And I can use them more because they're willing to step out and get out on the end of the limb where the best fruit is. Amen. So last week we talked about prophecy. And we found out that prophecy is a supernatural utterance in a known language. It's supernatural speech in a language that we understand, which in this case would obviously be English here, right? So anytime the Lord would use you and He's speaking through you something that would build up somebody else, that would comfort them, and that would encourage them, that is what the Bible calls prophecy. And you remember I made the point last week that prophecy is not just what our traditional charismatic view is. It includes this, but it's not limited to an individual talking to another individual and saying, "Thus saith the Lord," and speaking something. Prophecy happens when we preach. Prophecy happens when we sing. Prophecy happens when we write notes to people. Prophecy can be in all these different shapes, forms, and packages. So what did we learn? We're supposed to be desiring these things. So one of the ways we desire them is by what? Putting ourselves in position for God to speak through us. But if we're sitting here like this, the Lord's not going to be able to prophesy through you, right? We've got to start opening our mouth wide and letting Him fill it. Amen. So, we spent some time talking about that last week. I don't want to re-preach that. If you missed last week, go online and you can listen to that one. Today is going to be awesome. Because we get to talk today about one of the most glamorous and awesome gifts that we have in the body of Christ that most seeker-sensitive churches don't like to talk about anymore. But we don't care about that. We're going to speak it out because we believe here in the gifts of tongues.
and interpretation of tongues. Amen. How many of your lives have been greatly enhanced by your prayer language that you have received from the Lord? Amen. I have learned and heard from many. Some of the most notable ministers that have been used in the supernatural in this generation and in past generations, most of them, you go and read their writings, Smith Wigglesworth, Kenneth Hagin, a lot of these different ministers that we've gleaned a lot from, all of them seem to say the same thing, that they attribute the revelation, the power, and a lot of the different things that they have had God work through them in their ministry to this gift called tongues. Amen? So we're going to learn some very awesome things this morning about how tongues are for us today and how there are different kinds of tongues, actually. And we're going to answer some theological questions where people have maybe been confused concerning these things. So are you interested in this morning? Amen. Amen. All right. I want you to notice here that he calls them different kinds of tongues. See, a lot of times when we quote what these different gifts of the Spirit are, we don't use the biblical terminology. Paul specifically said diversities of tongues is what the King James says. New King James says different kinds of tongues. And what I've come to find out is that there are basically two different kinds of tongues, two categories of tongues. There are tongues that are for our own edification, building our own lives up. And then there are other tongues that are for the building up of others. Amen? So there's tongues for our own edification, and there's tongues for the edification of others. But before I go any further, let me actually dispel an argument against not only tongues, but all the rest of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some of you have maybe been approached by somebody out there that doesn't believe like we believe, and they'll come and tell you that the gifts of the Spirit, like tongues and prophecy, have passed away, that they are not for us anymore. Let me tell you how to answer somebody like that. The first thing you do is if somebody comes to you and says, tongues isn't for us anymore, that passed away with the apostles. The first thing you ask them is, where is that in the Bible? Because we're not interested in people's opinions or their experiences. We're interested in what the Bible says, right? You know what I've come to find out, though, when you go to these people and say that, and you ask them, where is it at in the Bible? They're not going to be able to tell you. So then this is what you answer those majority that won't be able to tell you where that's at in the Bible and say, let me help you. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So you take them over to 1 Corinthians 13. Turn in your Bible there. This is where that belief system came, that the gifts of the Holy Ghost are not for us today. Of course, we know this is the love chapter. Amen. And in the end of the love chapter, I want you to notice what verse 8 says. Let's start in verse 8. After describing the various characteristics of love, he goes on to say right here, love never fails. Now that does not mean love never loses. Now I believe there's truth in that, that love does conquer things and stuff like that, but that's actually not what Paul was saying. The word fails here is a word that would be used in other scriptures to describe how a flower will fail, meaning a flower will cease, a flower will die, a flower will cease to exist, right? So when he says love never fails, what he's saying is love never ceases. And we go on to know how we know that's what he means, because notice what he says after this. Love never ceases, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. So he's obviously, he's talking about right here, whether there are prophecies, they're going to stop. They're going to cease. Whether there are tongues, they will cease or stop. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So notice all the terminologies here. They will fail, they will cease, and they will vanish away. That's obvious. That's what the context is right here, right? So people will take a scripture like this and say, see, tongues have ceased. No, let's read the rest of the passage of scripture. Look at verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Verse 10. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. So what these people, these naysayers, believe is see, that which is perfect has come. Therefore, there is no more need for tongues. There's no more need for prophecy. And they incorrectly conclude that the perfect thing Paul was referring to here is this book. And while I am absolutely an advocate that the Scriptures are perfect, there is nothing missing, nothing broken in here, amen? It's infallible. That is not what Paul's talking about. Why do you say that, Pastor? Well, let's continue to read. Look at verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Look at the next verse. For now, say now.
Now,
now in this life, we see in a mirror dimly. But when that which is perfect has come, right? But then face to face. Now, I know there's a couple of us in here that have seen the Lord face to face. But the vast majority of the body of Christ has not seen the Lord face to face. And this is indicating that when this time comes, all of us are going to see the Lord. We are going to have a face-to-face encounter with the Lord. And it's very obvious then that this perfect time that Paul is describing has not come yet. Now I know in part, but then, when that which is perfect has come, I shall know just as I am also known. Now, does anybody in here know everything the way God knows everything about you?
No.
No, that which is perfect has not come then. Verse 13. He goes on to end, and now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Do you know why love is the greatest out of all the other, these main three cardinals of Christianity? It's because love is the only one that never ends. Love never fails. We're going to be walking in love in this life, and when that which is perfect is come, which is His kingdom coming here on the earth, the new heavens and the new earth coming down from heaven, when we see the Lord on His throne face to face, and we know everything the way He knows us, when that time comes, we're still going to be walking in love, but at that time, we're not going to need faith or hope any longer. Amen. And if that's the Scripture that these theologians, that got far more degrees than I do, at the end of their name, hang their hat on, that tongues and prophecies have passed away along with all the rest of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, then I guess we just found out tongues and prophecies are still for us today. Because that which is perfect has not come. Now, we're not going to be speaking in tongues and prophesying when we are in the eternal kingdom of God, is what that's saying. We're not going to need to then, because now we know in part, and we need those things in this time where we're seeing in a mirror dimly, because we need to hear from the Lord the things we need to know in everyday life. Amen? So the gifts of the Holy Ghost are still for us today. Therefore, different kinds of tongues, along with the interpretation of tongues, are still for us today. So let's look at this gift of tongues in more detail. Many people have an incorrect understanding of what these gifts are, particularly these different kinds of tongues, these different operations of tongues in our life. And there's a couple of different ways that we can define what Paul was saying when he said different kinds of tongues. It can mean different kinds of languages. Because you know the word tongues just simply means languages. Now, I prefer to keep the word tongues in there to make a distinction between just the blabber we have here on this earth and our known language and the supernatural utterance that's given by the Holy Spirit. Right? But it's just simply different kinds of languages. So some people would interpret that to mean that the gift of tongues is the ability that some people have been given to be linguistic and be able to speak multiple languages. And people water down these gifts to basically make them very natural. How many of you know that's not what he's talking about right here? If you go to school and you learn how to speak Spanish, Portuguese, Chinese, or something like that, that don't make you having the gift of tongues. This is supernatural, because how many of you know in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and they began to speak in other languages during that time, and people heard them talking in their own languages. Now, those disciples were uneducated. They didn't go and learn all these different languages. This was supernatural that the Holy Spirit gave them these tongues. Amen. And that's a different kind of tongues, which we'll get into here in a moment. So it can mean different kinds of languages. But you know what another possible interpretation is? And this is what I believe it is. It's different classifications of tongues. Different types of tongues. And this is where us charismatic folks kind of miss it a little bit. And that when we think of tongues, we only can see it one way. There are three different classification of tongues in my book. This is what they are. There are tongues as a ministry. Tongues as a ministry. I'll describe this in a moment. There are tongues as a sign. As a sign to unbelievers. And then there are tongues as a prayer. Which this is that personal prayer language. Amen? Tongues as a ministry. Tongues as a sign. And tongues as a prayer. So let's break these down real quick. I'm going to define them to you. Tongues as a ministry. This is tongues that's not given to all. Now, you're familiar with the scripture, and many people will use this verse that says, do all speak with tongues? And the obvious answer is no. Well, you got to understand, which kind of tongues are we talking about? Are we talking about tongues that's for your own personal prayer language? Or are we talking about some other kind of tongues? Right? And we'll break this down in a moment. So it's tongues that's not given to all, but distributed individually as the Spirit wills for the edifying or building up of the church. Then you've got tongues as a sign, which Paul describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 as being it's 14:22, talking about tongues are a sign for the unbeliever. This is when somebody speaks in another language supernaturally and people understand what that language is and God's communicating to them. And this actually still happens today. You know that? Let me describe to you one time it happened with me. Actually, when you go overseas and you're communicating with people that don't speak your language, sometimes you get in a position to where you need to be operating in this gift. And one time, this might seem a little frivolous to you, but I go to India every once in a while, and there are no rules there. You know, a friend of mine that was in India, he says this right here. He says, in England, I'm trying to use this accent. He goes, in England, they drive on the left side of the road. In India, we drive on whatever's left of the road. And that's true. There are no lines. There are no lines on the street. There are no lines to purchase things. And I remember one time, I first visited India. And I've got to go to this concession stand, and I'm trying to get a Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola. I mean, you think this is a universal language right there. Like hallelujah, they speak it in every language. Coca-Cola too. And I'm standing there waiting patiently in line. And everybody is going up and just cutting in front of me. And they all have their rupees out. That's their dollar. And they all have their rupees out going, and they're just cutting in front of me, and I'm trying to be polite. And I start realizing, if I'm going to get my Coke, I'm going to have to do it like they do it. So I got my rupees out. Do I know how to speak any of these Indian languages? No. But I pulled my rupees out and I said, and guess what happened? They handed me a Coca-Cola, glory to God. So I don't know if I was saying Coca-Cola in Tamil, but glory to God, I got my Coke. Amen. There's been other times I've been in the car and I just felt impressed to speak in tongues when I was around somebody. And see, this is one of the reasons you want to do this. You speak in tongues around somebody so God, you're putting yourself in position. And I'll look at somebody and go, and I don't know, and they don't look at me like I got four eyes or anything like that, so I'm guessing they understand what I'm saying. My point is this, is that we can operate in this tongues as a sign to an unbeliever. Amen? And it is a relevant gift today. But that is as the Holy Spirit wills. You understand that? But we also have tongues as a ministry and tongues as a prayer. And these are the ones I want to spend the most time on. In fact, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. in response to those that would say, well, no, brother, tongues are just a language. And so it's the ability to speak in another language of this earth, and that's all it is. Oh, really? Well, I guess they forgot to tell the Apostle Paul that. Because look at chapter 13, verse 1. Look what Paul says. Though I speak with the tongues of what? Men and of angels. So what's he indicating there? Is that believers have the opportunity, yes, to speak in the tongues of men, which would be another known language on the earth, but also in the tongues of angels, which is the reason I like to call tongues our heavenly prayer language. And the tongues of angels are the tongues that we all have the opportunity to receive and speak in. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 14:2, let me show you something. If all tongues were of men, then there would be somebody that could understand them on the planet, right? Right? So let me prove to you that there is a tongue that's available to us that is not tongues of men. Look at chapter 14, verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men. There you go. Does not speak to men, but to who? God. So that must be the tongues of angels. If I'm talking to God and I'm not talking to men. And look at this. For no one understands him. So if you're speaking in a known language here on the earth, then somebody is going to be able to understand you, and Paul couldn't have said that. Yes. Glory be to God. So there are different kinds of tongues available for us, amen. And I'm going to break you free today so that you can start speaking in that gift that's speaking directly to God. But let's talk about tongues as a ministry real quick. Because you remember, I brought up that question earlier and said, well, brother, the Bible says, do all speak with tongues? And the obvious answer is no. Well, let's go look at that verse. Chapter 12. Come on, glory to Jesus. That question is asked in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 30. But I want us to start in verse 28. Because you always got to consider a verse in context. Never lift a verse or a portion of a verse out of its context, but understand the heart of the writer so you can get the full picture. Amen. In verse 28, and God has appointed these, where? In the church. So he's talking about ministry gifts available inside the church setting. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administration. So look at that right there. Helps and administrations. These are people that are put in positions in the body of Christ to support and administrate things. So we're talking about ministries, yes. We got various ministries here. Now notice this. Are all apostles? Obvious answer is no. Are all prophets? Obvious answer is no. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. So when you have to conclude here is when he talks about tongues and interpretation here, he's not talking about tongues of angels. He's not talking about tongues as a prayer or for our own personal edification. He's talking about tongues that are available in the body of Christ to where certain people, like certain people are called to be prophets, while all can prophesy, and while certain people are called to be teachers, but there are also other people who can teach. Everybody can speak in tongues, but a select group of people that have the gift to speak in tongues in a public assembly. For example, I'm going to embarrass a couple of them here. I believe there's more than this in this body, but I believe we have a couple here in this body. I know I've been used in it. I know Ned Dominic has been used in it, and I know Pat Trent's been used in it. These are the people that have the reputation that this public gift of tongues comes out. It's different than you having your own personal prayer language, right? So do you see the difference here? And this is what we're talking about, the difference between these kinds of tongues. But what I want to spend the majority of time on, I got 15 minutes, what I want to spend the majority of my time talking about today is the tongues as a prayer that's available for all of us
to build ourselves up. Because there's a reason for this. And the reason I want to bring this out is, like I told you earlier, these notable ministries that have been used in power and have received revelation from the Lord, most of them give the credit to their personal prayer language for this. And you know, in the world, and I'm not saying this to cheapen anything, but it's a great example to me. We have what's in the world illegal drugs. But I'm making the point that we have a legal drug in the Spirit, amen, that we can partake of. It's free, hallelujah. And there's no law against. But we have illegal drugs out there. And what they will tell you, and because I personally experienced it, and some of you have and been brought out of it as well, is that they have certain drugs that are called gateway drugs. You ever heard of that? Gateway drugs, which are the more minor, less impacting drugs. They're still bad, but when people partake of these and start abusing these, it usually tends to lead them into the heavier, more hardcore stuff. I believe tongues is the gateway gift that will lead you and I into the more hardcore gifts. Because I'm here to tell you, and I'm not the only one that says this, I have personally experienced in my life, the more I pray in an unknown tongue, the more other gifts accompany it. But I've also found that the less I pray in an unknown tongue, and don't spend as much time praying in other tongues, the less time I do it, the less of these other gifts that are operating in my life. So that's why I've started something here, amen, to where we're having some time where we're praying in tongues for a couple of hours. And we get together and we pray and we pray and we pray, building ourselves up. Why? So that we can put ourselves in the position for the Holy Ghost to usher us into these other gifts. Now, I'm not saying that's the only way you can operate in these other gifts. I'm just saying it's a way, amen. Because I'm telling you, the more I pray in tongues, the more I pray in the Spirit, the more prevalently the word of knowledge, which God's called me to walk in, runs rampant. I remember I was praying in tongues a lot when I was in Colorado a couple of weeks ago, and boy, I went to the airport, and this is when it really stood out to me. But when I was in the airport, I would just look at people, and I knew something about every single one of them. It's just, I knew. It was just like the veil was rent. I could see and know what they were dealing with, what was going on. And guess what's happening? The Lord's not showing me that to necessarily minister to all of them. I have just purposefully and deliberately pressed into, through praying in tongues, this other gift that God has available for me. And I see and know things more. I see through the mirror, not as dimly anymore. Do you see that? I'm seeing things more fully. So, these are some of the benefits of tongues, but let me give you some more. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Praise God. Amen. There are a lot of different benefits to praying in tongues, and I'm going to just have to touch on a few of them. And when I send out my email this week, where I've got my notes, there's going to be a lot more details on that than I'm able to give you in an hour's time here. But there is a lot of different benefits that we can experience in our life. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's look at verse 2 again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Amen. And, I'll have people that come and try and talk me out of this stuff. You know, you got people that will do that. You understand that? And I'm like, look, you've come too late. I am doing backstrokes in the pool, and you coming and tell me there ain't no water in there. It's not going to work. You're too late. Hallelujah. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to who? God. So what's a benefit of our prayer language? You have a one-on-one direct line to the grand operator in heaven. God. I'm talking to God when I pray in tongues.
And what am I talking to God? For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, let's stop right here. In the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. You know, this is one of the reasons people quit praying in tongues. Because they don't understand the damage, the edification. Damage for the kingdom of darkness and the edification for my own life is being done in the Spirit. I don't have to have a goosebump. I don't have to have a feeling. This is a spiritual thing I'm doing. So the devil gets us off track sometimes because we'll start praying in tongues. And what will happen is he says, see, nothing's happening. I had a manifestation today when I prayed in tongues for a couple of hours. You had a manifestation? What was it? I had a dry throat and my lips got dry. In the natural, I might not feel nothing. But I believe that when I pray in an unknown tongue, in the Spirit, I'm speaking directly to God on His throne, and I'm speaking something called mysteries. Mysteries. Now, do you reckon these mysteries are for our benefit or God's benefit? Are you praying something to God He don't know? Well, God, and God's like, wow, man, I never thought about that before. That was a mystery to me. No, that's not what you're doing. The mysteries must be for our benefit, which is one of the reasons you want to pray that you may interpret your own tongues. Doesn't mean you're not edifying yourself some other way, but when you interpret it, boy, it's awesome. I have had God speak numerous times through this here donkey to myself out of my own mouth. Amen. Glory be to God. So these mysteries, what are the mysteries then? Well, the Greek word that's used here is the Greek word mysterion, which is commonly used in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul to describe what? The mystery of this new and better covenant that you and I live in. The mystery that was hidden before in ages past, but now has been revealed to us. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, where Paul really describes this. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 26. Paul's describing what he preached and what God gave him. And while you're turning over there, let me make a point to you. Do you think there was a reason why the Apostle Paul had more revelation than the other apostles? Did you know he actually did? To where Peter actually said at the end of 2 Peter chapter 3, he said, the things which Paul talks about are hard to understand. He's like, it's far beyond me. Paul knew things that Peter and John and them never had tapped into. Was that because God just desired to give him that gift or things like that? Or was there something he did and deliberately that pressed into that knowledge? Well, I thank God, it says over, thank God, pun intended, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul said to this Corinthian church. Now, you understand, in the Corinthian church, they were all speaking in tongues, all service long, and Paul had to correct them and said, man, you need interpreters, and you guys need to be desiring prophecy like you're speaking in tongues. Which shows me people are speaking in tongues of their own will, if he had to correct them doing it in the wrong way. Let that one sink into you. So they're speaking in tongues. But Paul says something pretty powerful. At the end of this chapter, after he's correcting them on doing things decently and in order, he stops and says, I thank my God. He's thanking God for something. I speak in tongues more than y'all. That's Trey's translation. Amen. You know you got to be anointed. I mean, you got to say y'all to be anointed. You know that, right? Got to be a country hick from Texas or something, man. I mean, the anointing. God uses the weak things of this world. Hallelujah. But Paul says, I thank my God. I speak in tongues more than all of you. That was a tongue-talking bunch, baby. Right? He's saying, I pray in tongues more than all you guys. When do you suppose Paul did this? When he was walking by foot from city to city, preaching the gospel on his travels. I guarantee you, for hours, he's walking by foot. And one time, I'm preaching on this in India, and the Holy Ghost gives me a statement that I want to give to you. It comes out of my mouth as I'm teaching this class. Do you want to have more revelation than them all? In other words, do you want to have more revelation than other people? And do you want God to show you more things than you're currently seeing? And be one of the top shelf ones of God being able to give you more revelation, more wisdom, more understanding? Do you want to have more revelation than them all? Then you got to speak in tongues more than them all. The more I pray in an unknown tongue, the more these mysteries become revealed to me. Notice what this mystery is. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. How? By the Holy Ghost. You remember it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love them. And everybody likes to quote that verse and amen it because they like to live in the basement. But they don't read the next verse that says, but God has revealed these things. What things? The things eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man. God has revealed them to us. How? Through His Spirit. So it has been revealed by the Holy Ghost. Notice the next verse, verse 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mysterion, mystery, the mysteries we pray out when we pray in an unknown tongue among the Gentiles, which is, what is this mystery? Paul, tell me what this mystery is, because I want to know what I'm praying out. When I pray in an unknown tongue, I need to know what these mysteries are. Paul said, I hear you, and here's my answer, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when I pray in an unknown tongue, what am I doing? I'm speaking mysteries for my benefit. But when I speak these mysteries for my benefit, I am praying out the revelation of this new and better covenant of all Christ is in me and all I am in Him. And that's what I get my life built up on. Hallelujah! I done preached myself happy. Glory be to God. Go back to 1 Corinthians 14. Amen. Can you see it? This means something to me. And I'm telling you, I have some of you that'll come to me and say, Pastor, how do you remember all the scriptures you remember? Pastor, how did you get that thing from the Holy Ghost? I'm telling you right now. Because I spend a good amount of time. This is probably the predominant part of my prayer life. More than anything, I pray in tongues. Because what's so awesome about it, my mind can be unfruitful. Meaning I can do other things while I pray in tongues. That's when you know it's the Holy Ghost. Because I can sit here and read a book. And I'm comprehending what I'm reading because my mind's unfruitful. My mind can be fruitful in something else. Because I'm praying out of my spirit. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4 now. Well, let's look at verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Now, I've never heard nobody say this, but the Holy Ghost revealed this to me one time. Everybody always disconnects that from the tongues. But if prophecy speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men, tongues must speak edification, exhortation, and comfort to me. God to me. And I'll prove that to you. You see that? He who speaks in a tongue edifies. What's edify mean? Builds up himself. But he who prophesies builds up the church. Now, what does it mean to edify? Well, some expositors teach that the word that's used for edify can be used to describe something similar to charging a battery. Amen? So you actually can charge your spiritual battery up when you pray in an unknown tongue. You know, like some of us would never dare go a whole day without plugging our smartphone into the wall. Because why? It's going to go dead if you don't do it. We need to have the same kind of urgency with praying in tongues that I'm building myself up. You know, there's other benefits too. They actually did a study at ORU, Oral Roberts University. And this one particular person wanted to know, what are the benefits of speaking in tongues? What does it do in our body? And they found out, and they did research, and found out in the human brain, there is a portion of tissue there that has no usage. The science has never been able to determine exactly what that part of the brain is used for. So they hooked up some Spirit-filled Christians, and they started praying in tongues, and they started realizing something's getting activated in that part of the brain. And you know what they came to conclude? That it released something into their body. I can't remember what it was called, but it released something into the body that increased their immune system. See, but I don't need to know all this to know it does good things for me. Just the fact God said it builds me up, I don't need to know how it builds me up. I just need to do it and trust Him to let it happen. Amen? But this is what the Lord has revealed to me, is that the way that it builds us up. If you go to Jude chapter 1, verse 20, Debbie. Paul in Jude was correcting a lot of false doctrine and said there were sensual people in the body of Christ, people that were sense-ruled, that were living according to their flesh. And in verse 20, he said something really powerful. He says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up." Now, that sounds like edifying, doesn't it? It's the same word for edify. Building yourselves up, where? On your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, notice what he says right here. You're building yourself up on your most holy faith. He did not say you're building yourself up in faith. He's saying you build yourself up on top of your most holy faith, which is an obvious reference by the terminology there to the faith we call the Christian faith. So it goes back to what I was saying, those mysteries that you're praying out, what are you doing? You're building yourself up on top of the Christian faith. In other words, you are building yourself up on the knowledge and understanding of all Christ is in you and all you are in Christ. In other words, this is how we're going to come to understand these Pauline epistles, for example, more when you pray in tongues. Doesn't mean you can't get it some other way, but I'm telling you, this is a key. This is a way that the Holy Spirit has given us to be able to have the Word revealed. It's called revelation knowledge. And you remember I made the point earlier that it's edification, exhortation, and comfort. Because I want to end with this, because I believe this is a word for somebody. Go to Isaiah 28. Glory to God. Oh man, I missed one really good point. Let me say this while you're turning over there, because it's going to take some of you a long time to find Isaiah. In Mark chapter 16, you familiar with that passage of Scripture? And Paul says, or Jesus says, "These signs shall follow them that believe." So we're talking about your average believer here, a Christian that believes on Christ. These signs will follow them. And what is he going to say? "In my name, they will cast out demons. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." And he throws in the midst of all these various things, "They will speak with new tongues." And it's obvious there he's not talking about the ministry gift of tongues, is he? He must be talking about what every believer can walk in. Every believer has the capability to speak in new tongues. But we got to press into it, like he says with prophecy. We got to desire it. Some of us out there have had a hard time receiving our prayer language. But I like what Pastor Robert said. He's prayed for a lot of people. Amen? A bunch of people that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit working for Andrew Womack Ministries. And he came to find out that one of the biggest hindrances to most people is people that think a lot. They want to figure things out. That it becomes more difficult in those times. Because you're not going to be able to figure it out. You're going to have to do it by faith. You got to just speak it out and let the foolish things to this world be okay. And as you speak it out, the more you receive. Amen. Amen. Isaiah 28. This is probably, I think there's about two different verses in the Old Testament. The other one is, make this note right here, Zephaniah 3:9. Zephaniah 3:9. That's another one that's used to, I believe, prophesy tongues for this new covenant. Isaiah 28, though, verses 11 and 12. Notice this. It says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue He will speak to this people. See, this is one of the ways God talks to us. To whom He said, this is the rest and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Ooh, so what are we seeing right here? When we pray in other tongues, when we feel dry, when we feel empty, when our cell phone has got maybe 3% life left on it. When we pray in tongues, what are we doing? We are recharging, resting, and refreshing ourselves when we do it. And I'll give you an unconditional guarantee that if you, when you feel that way, when you feel disconnected, and you can't do a lot of other things, you can pray in tongues. And pray in tongues for an extended period of time and build yourself up. And I guarantee you, when you come out of that prayer closet, you are going to feel something in your... It'll build your spirit man up. I remember the first time that I ever did this. I mean, I'd started learning some things, and I was old Pentecostal. Did the Holy Ghost come on you and... That was it. That's the only time we prayed in tongues. And then I started learning some of this thing, and I'm like, I wonder what would happen if I spent an hour praying in tongues. 10 minutes, didn't feel nothing. 20 minutes, didn't feel nothing. I got to 40 minutes, and it was like God poured Jehovah Java down my mouth. Energy in the Spirit, glory to God. There was a change, because why? I did it by faith, and the feelings followed. You follow what I'm saying? I entered into the rest. I entered into the refreshing. And I opened up the floodgates to be able to understand things and see things in the new and better covenant that I could have never seen. Amen? These are some of the benefits of tongues. There's many others. The Bible says you give thanks well. You can bless with the Spirit. You want to praise God in a better way? You know, it's awesome. There's nothing more beautiful. I remember this past week we were in this pastor's conference, and Charlie and Jill LeBlanc, who come to our church, were leading us in worship, and they said, I want everybody to sing in the Spirit. Thousands of people singing in the Spirit. So beautiful. So wonderful. So life-giving. And it's how we get into one accord. It's how we get into a place to where, boy, we are giving thanks well. We are praising God in a more beautiful way because it brings us together. If me and Elijah and Jackie are all praying in our own understanding, it's going to be hard for us to be in one accord because she's going to be praying what she thinks, he's going to be praying what he thinks. When we pray in the Spirit, we're praying what God thinks. Amen.
That's right.
And we can get in one accord. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? This is what's available to us, saints. And I'm encouraging every single one of you in here, that if you have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, this is available to you. And we can pray for you today, and we can receive that gift in your life. But if you're the person out there that maybe you've never heard any of these things, you've never prayed in tongues before, and never spent any time doing it, you just thought it was something that God just gave you maybe to prove that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's not the only thing. Start spending some time building yourself up. Put your spiritual cell phone, plug it in, and build yourself up. It releases healing. It praises God well. It builds you up on your most holy faith. Can I get an amen? Well, let's stand on our feet then.